This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Becky Reed is the lead grassroots organizer for Planned Parenthood here in Central Virginia, and she joins us live in studio. Good afternoon. How are you
good
doing?
Good afternoon. I'm
Happy
good.
Monday.
Happy Monday.
We were talking before we went on. You went out of town for Thanksgiving. You went south.
I did. I was in Florida.
Wow, and the weather was nice?
It was very nice. I usually bring the cold weather down with me, but I managed to not pack it this time. So I got some beach, got some sun.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Becky, Governor Kane announced recently that he was going to eliminate, it's almost, I think, $300,000 of public money that would go towards abstinence-only programs. And I've asked you in to sort of unpack this. It was just sort of a headline, a quick news story. You know, sides on both sides of the issue sort of sounded off about it. But I wanted to sort of just carve off a little moment here on the radio so that we could really sort of talk about, well, what does this mean, really? And what is abstinence only, and what is abstinence only in Virginia, and what's going on with it? And of course, the phone lines are open, folks, 977-1070, if you'd like to join the discussion at any time. But give us first, when you heard about this, and if there's any backstory to it, did you know it was a decision that was in the works, and what you think it means?
Sure. Well, I'll start with that last, you know, were we in on this? You know, it's something that Planned Parenthood across the country has been lobbying for, that no more money should go to abstinence-only programs, because they've been shown to be ineffective. They've been documented by many reports on many occasions to not only be misleading and represent a very specific values viewpoint, specifically the religious right, but also contain a number of medical inaccuracies, you know, inflating failure rates of contraceptive use, misrepresenting possible outcomes of premarital intercourse, and of course also alienating teens that come from a single parent household, teens who identify as GLBT, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. There are so many problems with these programs. I mean, we could spend an hour talking about the problems that have been documented with these programs. So that these programs are problematic, and then it's even more problematic that our tax dollars have been funding these programs. Since 1996, over $1 billion have been spent. And the specific funding stream that was cut off in Virginia, and Governor Tim Kaine did make Virginia the 14th state. This is a growing trend that states are recognizing this is not an effective way to spend public taxpayer money. All the research shows it. And so Title V, one of the federal streams, requires states to match at a 3-4 ratio. So he said, we're not going to be putting forth our 3-4 match, so we won't be getting that federal grant for the Title V.
And isn't that federal
programs.
Money drying up anyway? Is that accurate? Because I had read somewhere that there was less money coming out of Washington for those things anyway.
Well, that's been, and that was also another one of the reasons. So in the governor's plan to make up the budget shortfall, and I'll also include that this is part of a you know, multi-million dollar plan to meet our budget deficit. It's not just one cut he made. He looked at a lot of programs, looked at ways to achieve more efficiency, looked at programs that weren't showing outcomes. And, you know, as we've known all along, abstinence-only programs falls into that category. They're not showing us any positive outcomes, even in delaying sexual intercourse or reducing partners, you know, let alone preventing unintended pregnancy and the spread of sexually transmitted infections. So it was part of a much bigger plan to meet that budget shortfall.
Is it just a feel-good thing? I mean, is it really, if they don't work, is it sort of feel-good money where it makes social conservatives feel like they're tackling this teen pregnancy problem a way that they would like to see it tackled?
You know, I think it's much more insidious than that. It's a big business for them. It's a multi-million dollar industry. When they, you know, receive these grants, you know, again, locally, I've come on, you know, your program before to talk about the Crisis Pregnancy Center here, Charlottesville Pregnancy Center receiving a $645,000 federal grant, and that's a different federal funding stream, so governor's decision does not affect their grant. They use that money. When you look at their grant application and their budget, they're buying things like abstinence pledge cards, you know, abstinence pin lapels. You know, it's merchandising. It's, you know, they're making a lot of money off of these grants. And in Congress, they have also been having this discussion over, is this an effective way to spend money? And they continue to, you know, renew the programs. you know, every 3 months because they can't come to an agreement because there are so many kind of other priorities in Congress right now. But in the spring, Congress's own study on these programs, the Mathematica report, which was released in April, you know, again, showing us that these programs have zero impact, not even helping teens to delay the onset of sexual activity.
We're talking with Becky Reed, the lead grassroots organizer from Planned Parenthood here in Central Virginia, about Governor Tim Kaine's recent decision to eliminate nearly $300,000 of state funding of public money for abstinence-only programs. What is there public money then that goes for other programs here in the state that he left in the budget that that is there to help fight teen pregnancies?
And yeah. Well, Virginia's family life education programs are abstinence-based, which essentially means they're comprehensive. They include abstinence, which, you know, every responsible, medically accurate, comprehensive sexuality program includes. Planned Parenthood teaches abstinence. You know, abstinence is, of course, the first and foremost way to prevent sexually transmitted infections or unintended pregnancy. But again, what the research shows us is that you have to also present information about contraception, about condom use, about reducing risks. And actually, again, another interesting report that came out recently found that programs that do provide both abstinence and contraception can be effective in delaying the onset of sexual activity and the number of partners, as well as preventing unintended pregnancy, which is a huge problem among teens in the United States. We've got, you know, one of the highest rates in the industrialized world. It's shameful.
What is the, tell me about that a little bit more, the rates for or teen pregnancies here in America going up or down? Because I know in the early 90s, they really were really high.
Yeah.
Where are they? Where are we now in 2007?
They have been declining moderately. But again, in comparison to other countries in the industrialized world, our rates are just sky high. We're dead. You know, we're dead last. They're so high. And a lot of research has been done about what the decline can be attributed to. And a lot of the analysis shows that it's mostly as a result of increased access to contraception, but that increased abstinence is also a part of that solution. But again, that doesn't translate to abstinence-only programs, you know, being the reason that we've seen a slight decline in teen pregnancy. Because again, the research is showing us that that's not the most effective approach. Lying to teens, providing inaccurate, incomplete information. So what we're saying, what Planned Parenthood is saying, and now what the governor has said is, of course you teach abstinence. Abstinence is very important. But you need to teach medically accurate information about contraception and disease prevention.
See, I think that's
well.
A critical point, though, that I think most people don't understand, is that Planned Parenthood and all you liberals, lack of a better phrase, you do advocate the teaching of abstinence.
Yeah, of
course. I think a lot of, you know, I would think that a lot of social conservatives think that you don't, but you do. It is part of the, but you don't stop there. They would prefer that you stop there and teach only abstinence, hence the phrase abstinence-only programs.
Yeah.
But you go on then to say, this is a condom. This is, you know, and here's how you use it.
And, you know, what's recommended by organizations like the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy is you really adjust that mix of, you know, how much abstinence, how much contraceptive education, you know, based on your specific population. You know, how you have to look realistically. How many teens in this classroom are sexually active? And if you're going to stand up there preaching abstinence to them, you're putting them at risk. 'Cause of course, teens can, you know, disengage from sexual activity and practice abstinence. We're not saying that's not an option, but to not provide medically accurate, responsible education when there are teens engaging in sexual activity is just irresponsible. It put teens at risk. So, you know, again, these programs are not only ineffective, they can be dangerous.
We're talking with Becky Reed of Planned Parenthood. What is Planned Parenthood? I mean, that's where the abortions happen. I know we know that, but what is I know no history about Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, well, Planned Parenthood was actually started back in 1916 by a woman named Margaret Sanger.
16,
yes,
really?
Yes, 1916, starting
part of the women's movement, as part of the right to vote. That was going on at the same time.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if she was closely tied with that movement or not, but
because wasn't the I think the right to vote was what 1920.
Oh gosh.
I could be wrong. I'm reaching way back, but
I didn't know I was coming on to talk about history.
Sorry about that.
But so So she opened a birth control clinic in Brooklyn and got arrested for it. And that's the beginning of our movement. I mean, this is a birth control movement. The overwhelming majority of Planned Parenthood services have been and still are preventing unintended pregnancies. You know, there were these laws called the Comstock laws. She was arrested under the Comstock laws for providing information, distributing contraceptives. That was illegal. People forget that this is a very recent right, you know, in the 70s. 1965, Griswold versus Connecticut, giving married women the right to access contraceptives. 1971, granting the right also to single women. You know, imagine that.
That is amazing. That it's so that recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very recent.
And as you see it, really, when we talk about it, it's a woman's rights issue. This is all about, I'm a woman, I'm a free citizen, I should have the right to choose, you know, what happens to my body.
There are so many approaches to this issue. There are many people who are part of this movement because they feel that way. It's a women's right issue. You know, having full control over our reproduction allows us to participate fully in society. It's a health issue. It's absolutely a public health issue. You know, I think there's been a lot of really interesting dialogue around this funding question. You know, Attorney General Bob McDonnell getting up with the Family Foundation in Richmond last week and saying, you know, I'm a Catholic. Governor Kane's a Catholic. The Pope says abstinence. I don't understand his decision. And then, you know, all of us in the health community saying, well, this is about public health. This is about the health and safety of our teens.
It's not just about religion or what the Pope tells you to do.
Yeah. And I mean, and then the first, you know, again, to assume that he has the monopoly on what a faith community would say about this issue. There are a lot of religious organizations, faith congregations in this area that teach comprehensive, medically accurate sexuality education. You know, they don't have the monopoly on religion.
We're talking with Becky Reed of Planned Parenthood here in Central Virginia. So where do we go from here? Governor Kane says no. Are we going to see efforts, you think, in the General Assembly in January to reinsert that money perhaps into the budget?
Well, a few people that we always hear from on these issues have said that they are going to try to reverse Governor Kane's decision, one of them being Senator Ken Cuccinelli, who won his election by 92 votes, 92 votes out of 37,000. And he feels emboldened by that. And he actually said to the Washington Post, he's going to introduce something in the Senate. So it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, how these dynamics after the election play out. You know, the House of Delegates still kind of ruled by a very conservative faction of the Republican Party. The Senate has, of course, changed hands over to the Democrats. I don't see Senator Ken Cuccinelli's initiative getting anywhere. The Senate is very moderate and reasonable and would probably agree that Governor Kane made an evidence-based decision, a common sense decision about fiscal responsibility and looking at evidence-based programs.
I'm curious, are there school districts in Virginia that have as part of their the way they're organized to teach sex ed, where they have abstinence-only programs in their schools? Or is that sort of decided in Richmond at the state level that we're going to have more comprehensive details and information for kids?
Well, it's all decided by localities, by your local school boards. And there was a study that was done by the Department of Education to look at what localities were teaching, because up until last year, we had no idea. It was just, you know, we have family life education guidelines. They're not mandated. There's no reporting. The materials are supposed to be available in the school libraries for parents to go check out. They're supposed to get a notice that tells them what their child's program consists of. There was, you know, there's not always a lot of evidence that that is happening. You know, for example, what we found when we started seeing the Charlottesville Pregnancy Center get involved in schools around here, parents were shocked to find out that, you know, abstinence-only programs were being delivered to their children in the public schools. So what the study came back with was about 14% of school districts are teaching abstinence-only. Abstinence is the only information.
In Virginia.
Yeah, it's the only information presented in regard to preventing unintended pregnancy or the spread of disease.
I'm surprised it's that high, 14%.
Yeah.
I would have thought it would have been like 5% or something. But
yeah, no. You know, unfortunately, I think for some districts, they feel, you know, ooh, this is too controversial. We're just going to stay out of it, avoid it. And what they're doing is they're putting their teens at risk to provide no information. You know, and again, when the evidence is there, this is a health issue. So
Becky Reed with Planned Parenthood here in Central Virginia, the lead grassroots organizer. Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you had a nice Thanksgiving holiday.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour for some local news and a quick weather update. Find out when this rain is going to finally end. And when we come back, we'll talk with Chris Gates, the past president of the National Civic League. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.